We're all living in America, America, it's wunderbar. We're all living in America, America, America.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Info Pilgrims. I am Jack May, and joining me, as always, David Dolby. David, how have you been for the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 months?
This is all I gotta say. And take from this what you will. This Christmas, I received a package of SpongeBob SquarePants socks from my younger brother, Cedric, as a gift. I started wearing these socks. I've never been more complicated in my life on my socks than now. And I think, these socks don't look good. These socks just have SpongeBob on them. People do not care. People just like to see SpongeBob on socks. What does that mean, America? What does that mean?
Oh my gosh, my ears are bleeding right now. First off, I love how we never know where you're going when we start an intro. Because it starts off and I ask you how you're doing and you say, SpongeBob socks.
I think that's a statement as to where we are as a nation today.
I asked you, how have you been for the past 5 months?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic.
So you guys might be wondering why I've been gone for 5 months. Well, the truth is, we were a little tired. COVID had been hitting us pretty heavily, and we just needed a break from all the podcasting. But we're back. We're going to be still putting out new content. At least once a month, you'll be getting a new podcast, and we'll be talking about something relevant. We're going to have more research-driven podcasts, so there's going to be more info to the Info Pilgrims. So this week, we thought, after being off for 5 months, What better topic than talking about the state of America? I think that so much has happened in these 5 months. Our country has become a completely different country, first and foremost. We have a new president, President Joseph Biden. We have a whole new controlled Senate that is now Democratic-controlled. We still have a Democratic-controlled House. And our country's still in shambles. So, David, let's start off with politics about our country. How do you feel our country has become a better country in the past 5 months? I don't want to just dwell on the negatives. Give me something positive.
So here we are, and I think this is just interesting historically to put this into perspective. If I can summarize the vibes, you know, as a millennial expression, what are the vibes for right now? America's vibes, executive branch speaking, we just got out of a bad relationship.
I feel like you're struggling to come up with something good.
I am. Oh, but boy. I just want to phrase it in a way that's not totally awful.
Okay.
We're in a new relationship, but it's like a Tinder date as far as the presidential election goes. We've got somebody new we're seeing, but we don't know how it's going to turn out. And we don't know if it's any different from the last person we had. But we're optimistic. We're like, you know, I've changed as a person for the people that I'm willing to see, and maybe this is going to be something that's bright.
We had very different Tinder dates. Yours is very deep and methodical. Well, that, I use Tinder for a different excuse.
Well, that probably has come into factor a lot, too,
yes,
of late. But that being said, I think one of the positives...
Someone's getting screwed.
Yeah.
There's the reality behind it. That's what I feel like it should be said about the America.
And I, if I look at my like year in review, which is social media so apt to present to me, oh, this time last year, this is what's happening. It's been 1 year since the shutdowns in Florida specifically. And I think one of the positives now that's happening is people are starting to get over the whole restrictions on society. And moving into this other stage where they're like, okay, coronavirus is a thing because most people have had it by now. Mm-hmm. But how are we going to continue living our lives in spite of all that?
So basically, I ask you, what's the good about it? And you say, the status quo.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me? So you don't see any positive in the dynamics of changing inside the political world?
I think the closer we move to total disorder, the closer we are to the curtain coming down and people realizing what's actually happening. So that's another positive. Like, we're moving closer to the fire.
Okay. So David comes in all doom and gloom. I'm going to come in with some positives of my own.
Please, enlighten me.
I think there is a semblance of order back inside of our government. And you may say, oh, well, it's a guy who doesn't really understand what's going on.
It's blah, a new blah. World order. Oh, boy.
Just let me talk for 2 minutes, yep, and then you can give me all the conspiracies you want.
Keep going.
I think having a semblance of an order, we have a vice president, we have a president, we have a Senate majority leader who isn't hell-bent on screwing one side or another. I think that's the reality we have to see this. We don't have one person who's yelling vitriol and hate towards another side. And you may say that Trump didn't do that. That's fine. I get it. But from my perspective, it looked like vitriol and hate. We have a person who respects the seat of presidency, understands that every word that is spoken from the presidency is going to be scrutinized. One thing that I respected that Biden did, and I think that it should be applauded rather than scrutinized, was he did not have a press conference for like the first 100 days in office. And I respected that. Most people were like, oh, it's because he's not competent enough to have a press conference. No, no. The way I looked at it was, we went from a president whose whole life was a press conference to a president who realized that press conferences were still a specialty that should only be done if there's a need for it. And I think that there's a certain return to normalcy when Biden chose to do that. I think we went from a president where, you know, Fox News was saying like, oh, it's good he gives us all this information, he tells us everything that's going on. Well, as an American citizen, I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to know how much terrible things there are in the world. For me, the past 4 years, I lived in a constant state of fear. And I'm not here, you know, toting some liberal agenda or anything. I'm the biggest Republican fan that there is in the world. Not currently, but I've lived and breathed the Republican mantra my whole life. I love living in a world where I don't know all about the terrible things happening. For me, these past 2-3 months that we've had Biden as a presidency, I've breathed easier. And it's not because I didn't think Trump was doing a good job. It was the fact is I didn't have to bear the burden of presidency with Trump. And I think that's something that should be discussed in the world. We're no longer part of the executive branch like we were with Trump. We're now back as being citizens who elected someone for that position. And I am so happy with that. I know that Biden's made some, you know, head-scratching decisions. I'm not going to deny that. I think a lot of his trade decisions are weird and throwing our country into chaos. I don't think we needed a second a stimulus bill right after another one. I think that was a PR move. I don't agree with that. But at the same time, I have a president making this decision. I don't feel like he can be influenced by us, if that makes sense. And I know that's a terrible thing to say because he's an elected leader. He should be influenced by us. But I like the aspect where he's leading and he's not being driven by someone else. I always felt in the back of my heart, I always held this thought that someone else was pulling the string on Trump. I always felt that way. I don't have that with Biden. And I know everyone's always like, oh, Biden's the biggest puppet master in the world. Yeah, but he doesn't show me his strings. I don't see his strings. I see Trump's strings. You know what I'm saying?
It's so interesting that you say that, because I think the biggest fear from Trump supporters to Biden right now is that he's a total tool for the organization behind him, whatever it may be.
But couldn't we say the same thing about Trump? He was a tool for the Republican Party. Every elected leader for every party is a tool for that party. Everything. Like, if you don't think that, you're ignorant. Like, I'm not saying you are, because I know you don't think that way, but I'm saying if you don't think an elected leader from a Democratic, Republican, Libertarian party doesn't have some sort of agenda from that party, that's not intelligence speaking. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think, and this was one of the things that turned me off Trump, especially in the last couple months or so, was that he did not handle the end of his term well, and he did not make moves that showed he was willing to navigate the situation that presented. Like, he was no longer strategic in his final months. He wasn't trying to secure the next election. He was playing to his base. And he was feeding the fire.
2024. Let's be real. That's the reality. Yeah. I understand that. I have no problem. I totally understand why Trump did those decisions. I also realize that Biden's going to do stuff that keeps the Democrats happy, because if he doesn't have the Democrats behind him for his next election, he won't get elected. Like, that's the whole thing about politics. Like, it stresses me when people don't realize this. Politics is give and take. You're not going to be 100% on one side and 100% against the other side. You have to learn how to reach across the aisle and work with the other person. Otherwise, politics doesn't work. You have to listen to what other people's problems are and listen to them so that they are willing to listen to you. And I think that that's the thing that people don't are struggling with. And I say it steadfast. Democrats are the exact same way. I could not get on Reddit for the past 4 years without having a heartache, because the vitriol they spewed at Trump was terrible.
Right.
Like, they wanted him to fail. I was like, this is our country. This is our leader. You may not agree with him, but you definitely need to support him. You spewing this hatred so the whole world can see that we're not a united country is terrible. It's the same thing with Biden. Like, I don't agree with him. I didn't vote for him. But you know what? He's my president. I have to support him no matter what happens. And, like, that's the reality behind my passion.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of the right wing would, or it's hard to group people up, but people who are anti-Biden will say he's not the driving leader of this country anymore. He is just totally a shell of a human being.
Yeah. And there's no disagreeing. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. But I think what you said has some value to it when you said it feels good to not be at the helm with the president anymore, mm-hmm. as much anymore. So it's like you don't get this feeling like you're personally involved in the chaos of the administration,
yes.
which is how it did feel with Trump, because one, the Twitter and the constant news pressure and all the factors that were constantly Trump, 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 this is what's going on. So there's this reprieve where we're like, oh, life can get back to normal. I can worry about my 9-to-5 and the government is going to keep being corrupt and do whatever exactly. they want to do.
Exactly.
And that's refreshing to a lot of Americans. But at the same time, we're at a heightened state of reality right now where we have COVID, we have international concerns, we have environmental concerns. We have a lot that's been heaped onto the everyday American citizen's plate where you can't just check out and do your own thing. You can't
put your head in the sand anymore.
No.
There's no ability to do
that. There's too much going on. So, and maybe that's a result of the media. Maybe that's wholly a result of the media, which would be fascinating. Maybe that's a result of just where the state of the world is at right now. But I think that for people to be overwhelmed by this new weight of existence is a problem. But I think the solution is equally as simple, is you just start being a good person in your day-to-day life.
Well, and let's be also super real right now. Like, a lot of people don't want that responsibility because we're super soft.
Yeah.
Like, we're a generation that doesn't want that responsibility. We rather just blame
whoever we can blame.
Yeah. We find someone else who we can blame. And, hey, the other party, they're the reason that blah, blah, blah is not working. It's vice versa. And I'm just like, guys, at the end of the day, this is our country. This is our world. We get to choose how it's dictated and how it's lived. And, like, if you choose someone to run this country, you better hope that they're for you. If not, then you better start writing some letters to your legislator and being like, hey, I don't want this to happen. Let's figure out what we can do to meet in the middle.
Honestly, yes. I think that we as Americans, we can't complain anymore about the situation of our government. We need to dedicate more time to acting. And not acting like movie acting.
Yeah.
Acting like executing. Yeah. Like, if we believe this is a republic, democracy, or whatever kind of government we have that represents the people's wishes.
I love that you say whatever. Because we don't know what it is anymore.
Then we need to believe that we as the people determine how our leaders perform. And we're not acting like that right now. And one could argue, like, oh, it's beyond our power. They run in everything. They don't care about what we say. Then we need to expose that for what it is. Yeah. And the only way we expose that is we exhaust all the resources we have as a citizen base to affect our country's destiny. And if we don't do that, then we shouldn't be talking. Because I think, and this is speaking for me personally as well, we're way too comfortable with watching our sports, watching our Netflix, doing our job, making our $10 an hour, paying off our rent, maybe paying off our bills, maybe getting medical, who knows. We are comfortable with surviving.
Wait, did you put that $10 an hour just for me?
Because
of the labor laws going on right now?
I mean, $10 an hour is not enough.
Because that was one of the negative things I wanted to bring up. It is not enough, but also I think that a scary aspect, and you know me, I am the biggest Amazon supporter in the world. The biggest, scariest aspect of our government right now is how influential Amazon's becoming. They are becoming the American trader.
This is the age of oligarchies, Jack. It's oligarchies in America. And it's been this way, I think, for the past 100 years. The corporations.
What do you think started? Was it the railroads?
The industrial revolution.
I agree with that.
Yeah. It happened in the 1900s, and this is just what I learned from my history class in college. It was like when Teddy Roosevelt started the Spanish-American War. The people that were pushing him to start that war were big business owners.
Yeah, railroads, because that's where they're going to make their money. Yeah.
Yeah. So to think that that hasn't changed, to think that's just been exponentially increased in their influence. I mean, that's what's going on. And we're capitalist, okay? Capitalism has its good points and its bad points.
Just like every single form of government.
Every single form.
Every single
form. Socialism's not the answer. Capitalism's not the answer. These are just systems of interacting with people.
Communism makes the most sense, but we don't live in a perfect world. It doesn't make sense in a non-perfect world.
In a non-perfect world, unfortunately, it just accentuates the vices.
Greed is the number one decider in every single decision.
And people want to say, oh, what happened in these other communist countries won't happen here. You want to believe that, but you can't trust yourselves. And you know where I see this? When I, as a bartender, have to tip out my barbacks and I'm deciding how much money to give them, there's an internal struggle where it's like, do I give them the cheap amount that I could totally excuse myself with giving them, or do I give them more? And I always want to give them the cheap amount because I want to have more.
And you know what's the funny thing is, people, David is one of the least greedy people I know in the world, and the fact that he struggles with that tells me that this government choice could never work.
Yes, of course. And the only thing that makes me give them more, it's this other part that's outside of myself that's like, no, give more to people than you would want to.
Exactly.
And I know if people aren't operating with that as like a rule in their mind, they're not going to do that.
Behind the scenes, people will never act the correct way.
No. If nobody's watching.
That's so cynical to say, but it's the reality we live in.
And you have to accept that about yourself. You have to accept that about yourself. Like when nobody's watching and you have a chance to cut corners.
Yeah.
Most likely you will cut corners.
No, and I'm not here to... I'm not going to trash AOC. Like, I think she has great ideas. But the same discussion I had with my dad, I was like, she has great ideas, but the fact is she's also AOC-driven. She's looking out for AOC.
Yeah.
How she can support AOC if she loses her seat. How can she support the brand that is AOC? Like, that's the reality is, like, even the good people are still looking out for themselves. You have to understand that.
Yeah.
That's why this government won't work.
And that's the most tragic pitfall of the socialist communist mindset, I think, is that idealistically, it's beautiful. Everybody works together.
Mm-hmm.
But it never works out that way. And people say, well, why doesn't it work out that way? Because human nature, you're going to get selfish. Whoever it is going to get selfish.
You think she tipped her bar backs good? AOC? Deep thought right there.
That would be a question. That'd be an interview question.
Dude, you could totally ask that question.
How much did you tip your barbacks?
Dude.
Did you tip them?
There's the question.
On a good day or on a bad day?
Yeah, David would be like, I know the numbers.
Yeah, I don't want to know how much you actually tipped them.
I like AOC. I think she's a good person.
Yes.
She has her heart in the right place, but she also has her head in the clouds sometimes. That for ideals that won't work.
And I think that's what people take advantage of.
Exactly.
I think, and you get into a whole nother realm of discussion where people can capitalize on noble virtues and get people to do things that they're thinking they're doing for a right reason.
Oh, but it's benefiting one person.
Yes, and that's how you could look at wars,
yep.
Like wars in Iraq, per se.
Oh, we're saving people.
Well, yeah. How many people fought in the war for Iraq because they wanted to protect America and not let 9/11 happen again? A lot of people. And it turns out that wasn't really a justified reason to do that.
Why was that, David?
Because there was nobody in Iraq responsible for 9/11 at all, like farthest from it. Iraq had no WMDs. They had no plan. I mean, was it run by a dictator? Okay, yes. So are a ton of other countries.
90% of the countries in the world.
A lot of places are run by dictators.
90% people. Understand, that is not a fake number that I'm just pulling out of my butt. It is literally the truth. 90% of these countries, sure, they're elected leaders, as I say in quotation marks.
Yeah.
But they are dictators.
So wait, Jack, help me.
The Russians have elections for Vladimir Putin. How does he keep winning?
He's not gonna lose. Why was Iraq different than the other countries?
I don't know.
Maybe because they had oil.
Oh, Oh, we're getting to that.
Well,
oh,
okay. I'm just saying.
No, no, no. I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying, like, why did we choose them to invade? No. And what I'm saying is people capitalize on this idea that was patriotic, and you had Americans going over there, like these 18 to 24-year-olds, like, oh, I got to fight for America and fight Iraq.
Because they were seen as resources that were expendable. Let's be realistic,
though. Yeah.
And so, like, these expendable resources were worth less to us than the oil reserves that we were going to get.
So the bad side
of... Oh, that sounds super dark. We're going to get killed
by the government. But the bad side of capitalism is...
It is.
Okay, the good side of capitalism is most people have a shot to do something with their lives. It's more performance-based than socialism, one could argue.
Yeah.
It's like, it demands the best from you, but it rewards the best
for you. It's harder to start in some areas, but if you have the drive, you can achieve something.
Yes. The negative part of capitalism is the people that do achieve... They achieve quick, and then they take over.
Yeah,
and it's
greed is driven.
Yeah,
for me, and like that was. I want to get back to the Amazon topic. Was for me as like I was doing my research, trying to dive into Amazon stuff, trying to understand, like Jeff Bezos, you have all this money and stuff. Well, first and foremost, I think we should talk about net value before we move on to anything else. Net value, sure, he's worth so many millions, billions of dollars, but he doesn't have access to that money. These are stocks in Amazon. So these aren't like, oh, Jeff Bezos can go into the bank and pull out $100 billion tomorrow. Like, that's just not a reality for it. He's probably, in liquid assets, he probably has $8 to $10 billion. Like, that's the reality behind it. But for me, so moving on from the net worth crap that we all like to stress over, for me, it's such a weird dynamic. Like, how do you say what is enough once you hit those plateaus like him and Bill Gates has? Bill Gates... I think should be put in a different class because he does genuinely want the world to work better and he uses his money to make the world better. But for me, it's like Jeff Bezos, like you see these people struggling. So like, why wouldn't you want to give that money? And for me, it comes back to that thought process that capitalism is built on greed. Because he's in the capitalistic society, why can't he choose to do that? That is what our government is allowing to happen. So why are we fighting that? What is the reality behind that fight?
Well, I think more so than capitalism is built on greed, humans are built on greed.
Yes,
so,
agreed.
So if I'm...
But capitalism is the one form of government that allows greed to be
yes,
first and foremost.
It does, but at the same time, socialism contributes to it as well. I would say, like, as a bartender, let's say I was making $250 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I started making $300 a day. In my mind, I don't want to tip out that extra 50 to my bar backs.
Yes, my money.
Because I'm like, I'm making 300. And then in my mind, I'm like, maybe I can make 350. And I make 350 a day. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never want to go back to 300 a day. So it keeps going.
So
like,
the drive is to make them more money.
More.
I get that.
Yeah. Yeah, you always want more. Yeah. So even as a billionaire, when money ceases to matter, I saw this crazy post, I think it was on Facebook, and it was like, if you start saving $10,000 a day in like 2000 BC, you would have less money than, you know, Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. And I did the math and it checked it out. Jeez. It checked out. So it was like, if you save $10,000 a day for over 2000 years, you would have less money than these guys. And you're like, why do they have that much money? But when you get to a certain point, it's no longer about how much you have relative
it's
to everything
money,
else.
It's power.
Yeah. It's influence, scope of influence. And the stars are the limit on that, because if you have a world driven by money, how much can you influence? I don't know. But I will say this. Ideas are still stronger than money.
I like how we said we were going to be more research-driven, but I like this discussion. And I want to push it a little
spouting
further.
Spouting off.
Why, when you work for something, you work for it to get an end goal, like, hey, I'm going to fix your car, and you're going to give me $500. Why is it that our government is focusing on taking the money from Jeff Bezos and billionaires who clearly they don't need the money. We get that. Like, that's the understood. But they work for the money. Why are we talking about basically stealing from these people? I don't... Maybe because I've never struggled as a human being, so I don't understand that thought process. And I get it, because there's people who struggle, who see people having billions of dollars and like, why can't you help me? But like, I also know what it's like to work hard for my money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett having these billions of dollars because they knew how to work the system. Why do we feel as a government we need to attack people for making that money?
Okay, so this is a way I see that.
Mm-hmm.
The government charades as somebody who represents the voice of the minority, the voice of the oppressed. Yeah. In America, they have to. They have to say, hey, you who are feeling beat down, we're here to represent you. Because that garners votes, that garners public attention, that garners support, whatever. In the ideology that the rich are over the poor and the rich have something on the poor always want the rich to give them what they have. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is the poor just really want to flip the tables.
Yeah.
They want to be on top.
I would love to have $100 billion.
So they don't really want equality. They just want to be in control of the situation instead of the other being in control.
Well, that's a good point.
So they just want the reversal. So the government will cater to that and be like, yes, we need to take money from the rich and give to the poor. But that's not actually the answer. And that's the hardest thing for poor people to realize is like, you wanting to be just like the rich is not a powerful enough motivating factor for you and not morally soundproof argument for you to be like. You have to be a good human being. That's what you have to be. And it has to be beyond how much resources you have. The resources and things, that doesn't really come into play. And that's the hardest thing for people. And this is why I think the quest for wealth is such a driving factor in humanity. Mm. Is because comfortable living will always win the day. If you can find a room that doesn't leak and a bed that's soft, you will fight for that because it is comfort of your living. But at the end of the day, none of that is guaranteed. And it's the people who can be good people, even if they're sleeping in a cave, that's what's really going to determine how the country goes. And
Oh, and it's also, like, let's be real, it's a sexy topic right now that puts seats into the seat of government. So,
yeah.
So people are like, if you tell people, like, I'm fighting for you, I'm trying to tax the wealthy more, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, first and foremost, again, we're definitely sounding like pompous, rich people, but I don't care on this point. I think the reality is people know what our heart is. And for me, it's, I don't understand. First and foremost, I don't like that people can take advantage of the tax system, but if they can do it legally, I don't care. Like if you're a billionaire and you know how to, hey, I give $1 million here and there just so I don't have to pay $2 million in taxes, like, as long as it's legal, I'm okay with it. But I also don't understand the dynamic, whereas why is not everyone taxed the same rate?
Yeah.
I don't get that. Like, you tell me you're a country of equality, but there's people, like, I get a lower tax rate than someone who makes $20,000 a year. Like, what the crap does that mean? Just because I make $40,000 this year, I get paid, I get to keep more of that money? Like, explain that dynamic. I don't believe in that.
Right.
Like, if you're going to talk about a capitalistic society giving equal opportunity chances, you're not giving equal opportunity chances. I should be getting taxed the 3% just like he is getting taxed 3%.
Yeah.
And the guy who's making $1 billion gets taxed 3%. But because he can give more to charity, yeah, sure, he should get a pretty good tax break because he's giving a lot of money to charity. But I don't know. I'm baffled that I didn't know that before this tax season.
Right.
I was like, why are we getting taxed less? And Tori's like, oh, we're in a higher tax bracket. I was like, what the crap? How does that work?
Yeah. I think the tax system is reflective on who runs the country, and, actually.
Yeah, that's the truth. And you saw the Republicans controlled last time.
Yeah, and if you have no moral code and you're making more money than most people, you'd rig the game to support you. It's only natural.
It's how the system works.
Anybody in that position would do the same thing.
And it'll be changed by next election because of a Democrat-controlled government.
Yeah. So, it's just, you can't ever think the biggest, worst bad guy is outside, out there. You have to understand that you are the biggest bad guy to yourself, and you need to identify and work to fix that before you start trying to fix the world.
Mm.
Because if you take any person that's like in an impoverished area and you plug them into the Bill Gates position, they would probably play the game the same way Bill Gates played, or Jeff Bezos, because you like Bill Gates. Even though I think he's a little man, whatever.
He's bringing water to the forgotten world.
He has questionable vaccine practices.
Okay, I can't wait till when I get my vaccine. I'm going to take a picture and send it to you and be like,
oh, what do you want, a free donut?
I got my 5G,
don't. You got your 5G implant.
Yep.
Here's what I'll say. This is another thing I've learned about myself. Because I follow...
We just went on a huge...
I follow conspiracy Reddits.
Yeah,
so, of course you do. But I've realized this, and Jack, I think you'll be like, oh, wow, David's kind of enlightened about this, blah, blah, blah. But I've realized that the news that I process into my mind, I'm reading through a filter of, this is probably bullcrap. And that taints the news that's coming into me.
Mm-hmm.
It's an echo chamber. And the weird thing about today in the digital media and how accessible so much information is whatever your presuppositions about reality are will affect the information you accept and the information you say is lies. Mm-hmm. And that will construct the worldview that you have. And the blind spots you won't realize are the biases that you have about yourself and about the world. And you have to keep looking for those, because if you don't, you will see the Democrats or the Republicans as the great Satan. You will see, you know, Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates as either the hero or the guy that's destroying the world. You will see Elon Musk as a woke person or just another billionaire. Yeah. We're in a tough spot.
We are.
We're in a tough spot in America. But...
This kind of leads into our next topic. For me, it's like we focus so much on financial equality that I feel like true equality is a forgotten topic. Now I'm going to show my wokeness a little bit.
Uh-oh.
For one of my classes, I was required to watch the 13th documentary, which is about the 13th
amendment
which made slavery illegal. But one of the kind of hidden agendas in it was that slavery's titles and restrictions are removed if you're inside of a prison system. And so it got me kind of down this dark path of just self-deprecation, to the point where I was reading a book on these topics and I said out loud to Tori, I was like, I hate America. Those were words that literally left my mouth, and it was because of what our country has done to keep certain people in power. Getting back in the 13th documentary, it's basically showed that after the Civil War, obviously slavery was abolished, so you could no longer legally have slaves. But what would happen was all these African Americans had no place to go, so they were arrested for vagrancy and jaywalking and having these long prison sentences that were basically just turned over to make free labor, because they didn't have to pay them, because they were under jurisdictional laws that they broke. And for me, I'm sorry, I'm getting kind of a little choked up from this, but for me, I struggled with that, because for me, my white privilege was something that I never realized. I realized that I never had these struggles. I never will understand those struggles. It's oftentimes I turn on the TV and see Black Lives Matter and be like, oh, they're doing it again. It was literally my thoughts. They're just doing it again. They're just fighting to fight. They ain't got jobs. This was literally thought process that I had for me. But I never understood that inequality was something that they've had to fight since they came over here from Africa. This is something that they had to struggle with the government their whole time. I literally just wrote a paper about Walter McMillian, who was, I don't know if you've ever heard of the show or the book Just Mercy.
Uh-uh.
So it's about an African-American who got arrested because they couldn't find out who killed this person, so they blamed it on him because he had a connection to a girl. He slept with a girl that was connected to that person. And so he was basically wrongly accused, put on death row for 6 years, and basically was going to be killed. But then a lawyer investigated into his case, saw the laughable amount of evidence that he was not guilty. He was literally at what are those country like meals that they eat with crawdaddies, corn, potatoes?
Oh,
stir fry.
It's jambalaya,
it's like when they have a bunch of people come out. I don't know. But anyways, he was at that about. All day long during the murder, but then nobody did the work because the law enforcement official was under so much pressure to put someone as guilty that he said, oh, this was a poor black man who I can easily just pin this crime on and nobody will care. It's just the African-American community will care. But I don't have to deal with them because they're not important. They don't have any weight in the seat of government. And for me, it just made me realize, like, I will never understand what it's like to walk out in a hoodie. I will never know what it's like to be ostracized like the Trayvon Martins who literally lost their lives because he looked suspicious with a hoodie on. Like, I will never understand that reality. And I was so quick prior to this to just ignore that. Like, for me, I am 100% okay saying I was a racist before this. I had this sort of thought, like, oh, I see everything with, you know, colorblind. I don't see colorblind lens. I don't see color, blah, blah, blah. The fact that I say that I see things with colorblind lenses show that I believe in the aspect of color. You can't say that you're colorblind without acknowledging that there's a color to be blind from.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, it's like, I know this sounds like a white apologist. I don't care. I really don't care. This is my platform to just rant about this. And I feel like as a citizen of America, if we truly want to see change, we have to believe in the fact that equality is never going to be reached until we start working on it at the highest level. And I think that was the struggle I had with Trump's administration was he didn't outright condemn racism. He never did. He said he doesn't align with them, but he never outright condemned racism. And that's the scary portion, because that's a trickle-down effect. It's just like any sort of form of government. It's going to trickle down. If your leader is not condemning a certain thing, people are going to say, oh, it's okay to be openly racist. So for me, maybe that's where I got hope from seeing Biden, because I knew that that wasn't going to be something that was going to bleed down through the system. For me, I saw a president who truly believed in the equality of races. And so for me, I think the change needs to start there. And that's why I'm hopeful for Joe Biden's presidency. Not because of what he could possibly do, but the fact of what he won't do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, there's a lot to digest there.
Yeah. I just kind of sprung that on David, by the way.
I will say the 13th Amendment, where did you watch that? What platform was it on?
Netflix.
So, I want to watch that. So,
it's an hour and 56 minutes. But it's an hour and 56 minutes of where you're beating yourself up where you need to. I'm not saying it beat all the racism out of me. I still think I have racial tendencies. I'm not going to deny that. I think that it's because of... Let's get a little deeper into this. Race control theory is the fact of, like, we need to acknowledge that because minorities were so long abused by the majority that it's a trickle-down effect. Just like I said about the the presidency. Because for so long, the majorities had control because of whether it be technological or just there's more white people than there were black people in this certain area. Just because there was more control there, that it was just kind of bled down to our systems where, like, hey, the plantation owners didn't trust black people. Hey, then the everyday people didn't trust free black people. Like, oh, they're just going to steal from me now. And so that kind of bled down through the generation. Sure, it got a little saturated throughout the years, but it's still there. I'm not saying my parents sat there and taught me racism.
Right.
I'm saying society sat there and taught me racism. Because everyone was just like this. Like, it was okay to hate black people. It was okay to hate people. Okay, so we can't hate them, but they're not equal. Okay, I guess they're equal, but we can still hate them and lynch them. So it's like just a little bit, like, every 30 years we get a little bit better, but we're still crappy. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to be depressing, but I am actually apologizing. What am I saying? I'm not going to deny apologizing. I honestly feel like my heart was ripped out of me when I watched that 13th documentary because I was like, oh, I'm racist. I'm 100% racist.
Well, okay, so the interesting thing is that Kanye West, he addressed the 13th Amendment 2018, and he said how it was a trapdoor amendment. And he's, for the same reasons, like, okay, they banned slavery, but if the criminal or the judicial system found you guilty, it was like slavery was back on.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people found themselves on the bad end of the judicial system, which were black people, mm-hmm. for laws that were not justified. So And everybody was like, Kanye West is crazy, blah, blah, blah. But he actually had a point there. Like, the amendment was not pure. And I would say, from what you said, is where you're like, they didn't teach me racism, but it was culturally accepted. I think that cultural beliefs dictate the formation of the offspring's worldview. Mm. And it is a gradual process. Change does not happen overnight. But you see, like, the hand-me-down opinions of other people.
Oh, yeah.
By the way that you result. And I think that most people are racist. I don't want to get into the view that there's the white guilt and everything, and I think that's played up by the media. But I do think that most people judge other people that are different from them because they're different from them.
And I'll judge someone if they look poorer than me. Like, yeah. That's the reality behind it.
Yeah, and that's everybody. And I think in America specifically, the story has been, and this is what I've learned from my college education, which you could say is liberalized,
yeah,
into making you think that, oh, white man, bad. Everybody else, good. There's part of that that's politicized. There's part of that that's true. And that the true factor you can't throw out. And this is a problem with, like, I think the Trump supporters, is they threw out the whole liberal agenda without looking at some of the parts that were true. Mm-hmm. And some of the parts that were true was like, hey, America is a great country, yes, but also it's been built on some things that are not good.
Yeah.
And some of those things have, like, they've eased a certain demographic into success more than others.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to move away from if we want to make this a country that lives up to its ideals. I think America's ideals have always been higher than what we've reached, but to throw away the ancient American ideals is a problem, because if you want to say the founding fathers were all racist and whatever they thought of as trash, I think you missed the point. The founding fathers outlined a country that would be good to live in if people lived up to those views.
Yeah.
Maybe even more so than what the founding fathers lived up to.
Well, I think that before this gets completely put out of perspective, I acknowledge that I said what I said about poor people. I know it's a terrible thing to say, but that's the reality behind it.
Yeah.
But I think that is the first step in change, is acknowledging that you know that what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's the reality of it. I think that the problem with racism isn't the fact, like, seeing a black person lower than you. It's a pride issue where that's been passed down, that white people are better than black people. White people are better, because that's what was taught in the 1800s, and it trickled down throughout the years.
Yeah.
Till it's still a thought. Or, like, seeing someone who's poor with you, less fortunate than you, oh, I'm better than them because I have more money, because money has always been the capital. That's how you compare yourself.
It's a catalyst of success. Yeah.
And I'm just like, let's acknowledge it. Let's just straight up everyone say it. Like, you think you're better than that person because you were taught this way. You were raised in this way of thinking.
Yeah.
You think you're better than that person because you have more money. Okay, let's talk about that. That person's smarter than you. They have less money than you. So let's talk about that. Like, they're not better than me because they're smarter than me. We're an equal society. Let's talk about that equality. Like, let's sit down and have a discussion. We can hear Nitra trying to open the door.
She's ramming the door.
She's storming the Capitol. She wants David's pets. By the way, Nitra's my pup.
Yes. Nitra loves me more. Oh. But, okay, so here's the thing. I think this is the route we're coming down to. Everybody's equally the problem. We are all, whatever race, gender, identification you are the problem. And your saving grace is not how much money you make or how many, you know,
the color of your skin,
activities whatever, you get into, or what the color of your skin is. Your saving grace is the fact, appropriately for Easter Sunday, that there is a God of the good that died for you. And if you believe in that, like, you can actually become a good person. And people will be like, oh, religion, I don't like that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is,
I get it.
We're all the same. We're all equally depraved. And if you flip the script and you put one person on top of the other, they'll behave the same way. But the only way for people to behave in a way where we can all say, wow, that's a good thing they did, like Mother Teresa or all these heroes that we have that didn't win $1 million, but they're just good people.
Yeah.
The difference is they put other people's lives in front of them.
Let's focus our hate on something that actually needs hate. Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes are bad.
Let's put hate on mosquitoes. I'm okay with that.
And LeBron James. Sorry.
Racist.
I'm sorry. I don't mean that. No, mosquitoes are bad.
That is my question.
And you know what?
Question.
Pollution is bad. Pollution is bad.
Again, you may not believe in God, but my first question, when I see God, is why did you create mosquitoes? They bring malaria. They bring death. They're the number one killer in the world. Let's focus our hate on them. Let's kill them.
They probably have some kind of environmental contribution.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they spread the growth.
That was the one thing God let Satan create.
He was like, all right, just bring him down. Bring him down with the mosquitoes.
Oh, boy.
They draw blood.
All right. Well, I think we ranted enough today. Guys, we're going to be doing this once a month. It's not going to be every week now, but we're definitely going to be coming with more research topics. We want to bring in questions that make us think, topics that make us make discussion, stuff like that.
I have a poll question, if you will, for the viewers, and I don't know how we'll set this up.
We can put it on Twitter.
Yeah. But do you wear a mask in Walmart? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Dude, I wear a mask because I've seen people at Walmart, and I'm scared. I'm scared.
Okay, well, there's the fear factor I forgot
about. It's not just the fact that I'm scared of COVID, but
maybe I should have said Publix.
Yeah, let's talk about a safer environment.
Than Walmart.
Do you have a differing opinion on that?
No, I'm just curious as to our listeners, like, if it was not enforced, would you wear a mask to Walmart or not?
We're a mask podcast, by the way, folks.
We're a mask podcast. We are.
I'm pro-mask.
You're pro-mask.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence about it.
Do you still wear it when it's required, though?
I will wear it so I don't upset people.
That's exactly why I wear it.
But if I walk into Publix and there's, like, five people without one, I'll be like...
Ooh, I want to finish with this weird thought. We have time to
talk. We should be in the mask conversation by now. We're a year into Corona.
Well, like for me, it's like it's funny because like I wear a mask in other public places because A, I know it's going to make people unsettled if I'm not wearing a mask. And B, I do want to protect myself to an extent because I don't know the extent of Corona. I'm not as informed on Corona. I don't know what the effects can be. But you won't catch me dead in church without a mask on. Which is a funny statement.
You always wear a mask in church?
There has been more infections. There's more Corona cases inside of the churches that I attend than there is anywhere else that I go. And it's because people don't wear masks in the Christian community because, I don't know. I don't want to
assume
anything.
Well, there's the political
divide. It is the political. But I just found that very interesting. I was talking that with Tori. I was like, it's weird that it gets to the point where I don't want to go to church because there's more chance of getting COVID than there is anywhere else for me.
I will say just me personally, this is David exposing himself.
Yeah.
Not in an inappropriate way, but...
It's twice today.
Yeah, I know. I've exposed myself. I only wear masks out of courtesy to others. I do not wear masks out of fear for myself at all. Hmm. And I'd be curious to know how many people are like that.
Huh. That is very curious. I think that's a good topic. To a little poll to finish with.
Yeah.
So, David, you want to finish the podcast? Do the outro? You're looking at me. I need statements.
Oh, statement. I was going to sing like Lord of the Rings song. Well, on that same note.
That was actually surprisingly very close to when they're going to see Elowen.
Hey, I know my Lord of the Rings. Read Lord of the Rings if you haven't yet.
Hey, why didn't you attend Nick Polk's Lord of the Rings Create Your Own Character? It was awesome.
I'm not good on social media. I'm just not good.
You're not on Twitter anymore.
Yeah. Either. Read Lord of the Rings.
It was awesome.
It's great books.
I joined a Dungeons & Dragons group, by the way. We're supposed to end this, but let's keep going.
That being said, there's nothing wrong with Dungeons & Dragons.
It's awesome, dude.
It's a great game. And honestly, those weird board games that everybody thought were nerds back in the day, those are fun.
Yeah.
Like, get into those.
Yeah.
Those are exciting.
Settlers of Catan. You're going to create a whole world.
It's awesome. And don't do that instead of Sims. Do that with real people. Anyway.
All right.
Play Catan. Play Settlers of Catan. And play card games.
David, do the
outro. I just want people to just...
David, do the outro. David, do the
outro. I want people to enjoy being with people again. All right? And start your own farms.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Please join us next time on InfoBones. I can't do this with you talking.
That's what's
And as always, let's make America think again.
Yellow desert screen.